I was out dirt biking on Monday, the long weekend, because it's a stat, and that seems like an awesome thing to do on a stat holiday, right? And we had a new guy who joined us, really great guy, actually from Manitoba. He grew up about a half hour and a half from where I grew up. This is kind of like older gentleman, retired, really charming. And after a section, we kind of climbed up a bad section and then got into this horrible rut, and we were all sitting taking a break because we're old and pushing motorbikes up a hill is painful. And so we're sitting there, and he kind of says to me, he's like, "So Vince, how is it that you're a minister in your dirt bike?" Whoa. That's what I said to him, like, you know, and this is my memory. I don't remember exactly how it went down, but my memory is, it was kind of this, like, how do you do this spiritual thing, but you're out here dirt biking with us? And I was like, well, dude, like, is dirt biking awesome? Yes. That's the answer to your question. Like, why are we talking about this? But he kept bringing it back up and bringing it around and bringing it, and he kept saying, but how does a minister get dirt biking? And if you take that question and you kind of go back up, we've all experienced some of that question, right? Someone in your life says to you, "Hey, you want to go for brunch on Sunday?" You're like, "Oh, I can't." You're like, "Why?" "Going to church." Right? And you can just see their face. They go from to, "Sorry, what did you just say?" There's something about this idea of I'm spiritual. Quite quickly is translated into you're crazy. Right? See why we put the series the way we did? Because when somebody looks at you, somebody you've spent a ton of time with, somebody you've had a great relationship with, suddenly finds out there's something more that you are connecting to, they're going, "Whoa, what's that all about?" And so you try that process of, "Well, no, but okay, there's this God, church and spiritual, but I'm not like, And pretty soon you just shut up, right? Sometimes people ask me what I do for a living. I say I'm a welder. You guys at least get to tell them what you do and you can ignore this whole part, right? And I do weld. So technically I'm a person who welds, therefore I'm a welder. So I haven't lied blatantly. Ish. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm just sick of that. You're religious? Look, 10 seconds ago you thought I was smart. Now you think I'm an idiot. Like, what happened? Anyone tired of those conversations? Or tired of that kind of attitude? And I think it's not mean-spirited. The guy dirt biking, I just think in his brain he didn't know how you got there. The series is designed to help you have those conversations. Because right now, I do this for a living and sometimes I hide. Right? I'm a welder. I don't want to talk about this. Let's just go dirt biking. But at the end of this series, we will hopefully have given you language, understanding, insight, so you can say, "Actually, let me tell you what I mean by that." And at the end, you get often what I get. People say to me, "Vince, I don't know if I'm ever going to go to church, but if I ever do, I'm going to your church." We've gone from, "I think you're crazy," to, "There's something that you're connecting with that I want to connect with." Right? That's what this series is all about. But in order to get you there, I have to deal with one word to start with. It's a little word. It's a big word. It's the word God. What do you mean when you say God? What does the person you talk to think you mean when you say the word God? What does culture think you mean when you say the word God? What does that word God even mean? Right? Because it's not just like there's one meaning for that word and we all understand it. As soon as you say God, you're like, but hold on a second, but. Because many people, they see God, this is what they're thinking. Can you throw that image up for me? Old man in the sky. Right? That's God. So this is from the Sistine Chapel. Famous painting. God touching the finger of Adam. But for many people, that's God. See, he's old, he's white, he's got a beard, and he floats in heaven. That's what God is, right? And it doesn't end there. Okay, let me take you back for a second. Think of a time in your life where, like, it just wasn't going smooth for you. Sickness, you know, relationships, whatever that moment is. And you have this feeling like you're going, seriously, is God just screwing with me right now? Because there's this story in our tradition that explores, takes this image, and then puts a personality to it. It's a story from a book we call Job, and this is how it starts. There's a character, God, and I say this deliberately, character God, and there's another character up in the heavens. And I'm going to air quote that, is like, we don't really know how to translate that word. So, the character God, and this other character up in heaven, and this character is called HaSatan. That's the Hebrew word. Ha is just the article, so the. Satan, anyone know what that sounds like? Ha Satan. So in our brain, that's a name of somebody. That's like Satan. But it's actually just the Hebrew word transliterated into English, so it sounds English. But it actually means the accuser. That's what Ha Satan means. There's God, and there's someone who's going to challenge God. There's a character in the story and another character, and this character is against this character. So, with that in your brain, let me read the story, the beginning of the story. One day, the members of the heavenly court, that's the air quote, we don't know really what that means, but whatever, came to present themselves before God, and the accuser, again that word Satan, HaSatan, came with them. Where have you come from, God asked the accuser. The accuser answered God, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. And then God asks the accuser, hey, have you noticed my servant Job? It's never good when they bring your name up in these conversations, right? Hey, have you noticed Vince? He's the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. The accuser replied to God, yeah. But Job has good reason to fear God. You've always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You've made him prosper in everything he does. Look at how rich he is. But reach out and take everything away from he has, man, he's going to curse you. All right. This is God now saying, all right. This is the weird part. This is what God says to that. All right. Screw with Job. See what he can take. Anyone, those moments where you're like, no, I'm tagging out. This is too much. The story starts with the character God saying, screw with Job and see how much he can take. And so the accuser walks away and screws with Job. He destroys every crop he's got. He destroys all his livestock. This is his entire life. He flattens every building. And he kills all his children. Ouch. For many of us, that's God. God and somebody else are sitting up in heaven someplace, wherever that is, going, yeah, screw with Vince. No, give him something good, take it away. Give him something good, take it away. We have this song we used to sing. We don't sing it anymore because I could not take it. Blessed be your name. It was this great song. It was like upbeat. I remember Jeff singing it. He's dancing on stage. Like, it was awesome. But the bridge says this, then God will give and take away. God will give and take away. What's the last line? My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. That's a little problematic, isn't it? Old man in the sky, sitting up in heaven, wherever that is, sometimes giving something to you, sometimes taking it away. Sometimes saying, hey, here, have some of this. And then like smiting you over here. The technical word for this, when you're talking about the deities, well, it's for anyone, is the word capricious. It means you never know what they're going to do. One minute they're given, next minute they're taking it away. Next minute they're taking it away, then they're given again. You're just screwed. And for many, that's God. When I say, hey, I'm from a church, there's God. We use the word God sometimes. They're like, oh, he gives and takes away, huh? That's pretty messed up. Now, there's ways around this. There's a kind of a logic jump you do. You say, the giving and taking away isn't capricious. It's not kind of the Greek gods who are like, I had a bad day. I'm going to like beat that guy up over there. What you do is you say, God's got a plan. And the plan is a beautiful plan. And all the bad stuff is actually good stuff. You're just not seeing the context. Don't laugh. Because this is a serious jump that people do. Because otherwise, what do you do with the old man in the sky God? Like, it's messed up. You're just kind of like doing this all the time. Like, when am I going to get hit? When's the other shoe going to drop? But if you can make that jump and say, actually, you know what? It's not that he takes away. It's that that's the only way it can be. You can hold on to this God. And this God has some beautiful things. The picture shows it beautifully. God and man touching. It's the most relational of the conceptions of God. When you say God is, I love God, I'm connected to God. In Sunday school, they used to use the word, my forever friend. You need an old man in the sky so you can be friends with him, right? So there's beauty. When you're sick, when someone in my life is sick, that's the conception of God I like. I hope he's on the blessing side of things right then, you know, like, help me out here. But when you feel like that God is behind you, oh, that feels incredible. But it's not all positives. The negative side is this. This conception of God is the least attested version of God in all of our scriptures, all of our texts. There's only that one story of Job that I think is a metaphor. I don't think it's designed to be a real story. But we kind of lose track of this idea that these are our conceptions of God, and we start thinking, this is God. Anyone ever heard of the Ten Commandments? It's kind of one of those classic Christian-y things, right? One of the commandments says, thou shalt not make idols. Idols is taking something physical, or making something divine, something physical. Old man in the sky, isn't that the definition of idolatry then? Something divine into something physical? Our spiritual ancestors actually have warned us about this conception of God. I think what they're saying is, it's so easy to slip into thinking this is actually God. It's so easy. So be on your lookout. This is a way of conceiving of God, but it's not the only one. Oftentimes, when someone finds out I work for church, which is like saying I'm spiritual, that's what they're thinking. Oh, you think they're the old man in the sky. And I'm saying, no, hold on. That's not the one I'm in. That's not me, right? Because there's another one. In fact, I'm going to give you four today. This is number one. Actually, I'm going to give you five today. I'll give you four, and too late to the party, I'll give you one. Because if the old man in the sky isn't the one that we want to tie into, what else do we have? And to talk about the next one, I want to tell you a story of a guy named Elijah. Now, Elijah is sitting up on a mountain and he wants to experience something more. He wants to connect with God or the divine or something. He's looking for that experience that we're going, yeah, that would kick ass if we got that one. And so he's standing up there and a hurricane hits. Wha-bam! Like leveling trees, blowing them half off the mountain. It's blowing rocks over. What do we call a hurricane? What does the insurance company call a hurricane? Act of God, right? And the story says, God was not in the wind. Next, an earthquake hit. It's tearing down rocks that have stood for thousands, tens of thousands of years. It's turning a mountain into rubble. Surely God is in the earthquake, right? It's called an act of God for a reason. And the story says God was not in the earthquake. Fire tore through everything. God was not in the fire. And when it all stopped, in some translations they'll say in the silence, but really what it's saying, in nothing, when there was nothing, Elijah found God. You see, the first story, God is an old man in the sky. In the second story, that conception, old man, it's not that it's problematic, it's that it's too limiting. Old man makes you think of, like, you know, my grandfather or something like that, right? In the sky, you're thinking floating around, heaven above. It's all these conceptions that limit it too much. And this idea that I want to talk about is the second one, is this expansive idea that says, whatever you think God is, it's more than that. It's beyond that. It's beyond being. It's beyond conception. It's just more. You've heard me say how many times the more than, right? That's my way of shortcutting you guys past the old man in the sky to this conception of God. And it's actually a really beautiful view. Doesn't it feel expansive to think of God as more, as bigger, is beyond the conception in my mind? It opens our hearts. Some have said that this view of God is the most orthodox, meaning the most kind of like following the line. The honest answer is, I don't actually know what view of God is orthodox and what's not. I can't tell you which conception of God you should hold. At the end of this message, I won't be able to tell you, this is your answer. This is what it is. God equals, quote, blah, 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 close quote. Because I think every one of us has to wrestle this through. And the conception of God you resonate with right now might not resonate with you in 6 years, in 5 minutes, I don't know. So part of this work is for you guys to do the work of figuring out what conception of God resonates with me. What moves me? What expands me? So we have the old man in the sky, and we have this conception of God is more. God is beyond being. And again, it's beautiful. It expands. There's this idea that says the old man in the sky view is further away from orthodoxy than atheism. The old man in the sky view is further away from God than atheism, because atheism at least says, I don't know. But the old man in the sky says, I do know. And the second view of God says, oh man, I don't know. It's more, it's bigger, it's profound. Downside is we lose that relational component. Remember the old man in the sky? The finger touching? In this view, there's no being to be connected to. There's no me and you, me and God. God's bigger than that. So just take a second right now. Sit with these first two views of God. Old man in the sky. God is beyond being, something more than. What happens when you sit with those? Does it freak you out a little bit? Vince, do not question this crap. This is sacred. Or does it feel freeing? Like, yeah, I never could buy into one of those. And now you've given me another option. Just sit with it for a second. Anyone heard that song, We're All Made of Stardust? It's actually true, you know. Simple elements were floating around the universe, but more complex elements like water had to actually get birthed in the core of a star. It needed the energy to pack it all together and to make the things that we are made of. You know, how much percentage we have are of water? Literally, the molecules in us were made in the core of a star. It's much more poetic to say we're made of stardust, right? But there's this idea of God. So the first one is God, old man in the sky. Second, God is beyond being, or God is more. This third one says there's something that we all come from. And that somethingness, not physical, not chemical, not... It's like before there is anything, there is God. And out of that godness, being comes. I think stardust is a great way to look at it. It's almost like the things that we come from, not physically, not specifically, but in terms of our spirits, it comes from someplace. Me and my partner, we were talking about this one, and you could just see her face is just lighting up as I talk about this. To me, this one feels like a bit like this, like, eh. But, you know, a lot of my friends, when they say, hey, I'm a creationist, what they're not saying is 6,000 years ago, some being snapped their fingers and the world became as it was with fossils that were, you know, millions of years old and half-lives and all that junk. That's not what they're getting at. They're saying, I like to feel like we come from the godness stuff. That we're all made of stardust. That kind is beautiful, isn't it? When you create something, you know, any parents out there, when you first look at your child, is that a divine moment? Oftentimes we use the word God and something creative together in this view. This idea that when we create something, there's something of the divine in that moment. Some of our spiritual ancestors said it this way. The first story, Adam is born, made. He's a shell. It's a metaphor, so whatever. And it says God breathed into his nose and the breath of life he became. It's like before there's being, there's the divine, and the divine is what all of us are made out of. Another guy, he quotes another poet, Paul from the Bible quotes another poet. He says, in him we move and breathe and have our being. It's a sense that we're all made of the divine. Everything that has being comes from the divine. And the beauty of this view is, pinch yourself. There's the divine, right? You experience God in everything, in anything. It's like God is all around. Everything we are is God. You can feel that. Some of you, I can tell you're like, oh yeah, that's me. Downside? You lose that relational connection, right? The old man in the sky touching fingers. The technical word for this is ground of being. The more than concept is transcendent, meaning God is far away. This one, the technical word is immanent, meaning very close to. We are expressions of the divine. So just sit with that for a second. Feel the divine stuff that you're made out of. Feel the breath as you breathe, just breathing in and out the divine. It's a pretty beautiful view, isn't it? Last view I want to talk about. I need to tell you a quick story. I have a cousin. I won't tell you his name. I see him like every 2 decades or something. He was the black sheep of the family. And when I say black, don't think like black. Think like ridiculously black. He got into drugs. I don't know how young he was. And when I say got into drugs, not like, smoke weed now and again. I'm talking like hook, line, and sinker. He was a young teenager, and it was so bad. His parents had already kicked him out of the house. They left on holidays. He broke into the house he grew up with, or grew up in. Stole his parents' knickknacks to sell them to buy drugs. If there was a bridge between him and someone, he had burned the crap out of that thing. So one day he was at a party. Someone says, hey, you want to try this new drug? At the time they called it angel dust. He says, yeah, of course. He says, it was minutes after he took the drug that he was like, something is seriously wrong. He was looking at his friend and he saw his friend's face melt off his skull. the arms of his friends turned into snakes. He just went to a horrible place. Hallucinations, the worst horror movie scene you've ever seen was what he was experiencing for hours. The trip wouldn't end. He couldn't get free of it. Hours later, he's sitting in a corner of a room going, like just freaking out. And he's going, will somebody help me? But he's thinking about his parents, and his parents are like, that bridge is burned. He's going through everyone in his life and just watching bridge after bridge going, I can't call them, I can't call them. What am I going to do? I'm going to die here alone. And all of a sudden, he comes to his grandmother, my grandmother. We called her Nana. She's passed away years ago. But even though he'd burned every bridge in the family, including hers, he called her and said, Nana, I need help. And she said, come on over. He lived with her for 3 months. There was times when she had to hand feed him. He couldn't watch anything other than children's cartoons because any other image would throw him into another trip and he would be gone for hours. And she'd hold him. There's this idea that when we love another human being, that love is God. It doesn't come from God. It's not that God motivated. It's the love itself is conceived of as God. My Nana loving my cousin who's just screwed everything up. That was God. It's not that God is a being up in the sky. It's not that God is beyond being or the ground of being. It's God's in every action we do in the people in our lives. When we love, God is there. Sit with that one for a while. Because part of it's beautiful, isn't it? Because God can be anywhere. Any moment of love that I bring to my world around me, God is there. Friends Church, the core of Friends Church is this conception of God. Not that it's the only one, but it's the one that influences us the most. When we love each other, when we love the world around us, the world just gets better. Everything gets lifted up. Every moment that you guys spread love out of your life, it's like a rock in a pond and the ripples are spreading out, influencing the world around you to love. Everything gets elevated. It's an incredible view. The downside is we have to do something to make it happen. How many of you have moments where you're not feeling very loving? How many of us have baggage and wounds and crap in our background? When we have that moment where we're looking at someone else and we can manifest God in that moment, we're going, yeah, but you didn't love me first. This conception of God, to me, is profound, and yet it demands so much from us. But just sit with it. Think of the last wedding you're at where the couples face each other and you see all the love and you're just going, man, we'll use the word magical moment. Sit with this idea of God as love. Let me start to get to the end of my message. There's a pretty good chance that at some point in your life, someone's going to say, do you believe in God? Are you religious? Or maybe they'll just assume you are and they'll talk about God in a very particular way. Up until now, if you're anything like me, you change the subject. Or if I'm feeling particularly robust that day, I'm like, okay, we're having this one, okay. I hope after today, I've given you guys language to be able to say this. I see you talking about a conception of God that's God in the sky. And I can honor that one. But you know what? That's not what's resonating with me right now. right now, this idea is God is love, or God is the ground of being, or God is more than. That's what's resonating with me. And in two sentences, you go from, we're talking about the same word, but we're using it completely differently. And now if you want to keep talking, we both understand each other. I didn't want to sit up here and tell you guys what the right answer is. I wanted to sit up here and give you guys language to be able to describe what part of this conversation moves your heart. What part resonates with you? And then in a very few sentences, you can say, I see how you're using that word. I'm going to use it like this. Chances are, you will have a much more fruitful discussion. You will not sound crazy. You will sound thought through. You will sound profound often. Come on, you guys will sound profound, right? And there's a pretty good chance you'll start a very good conversation. But if you don't define the word God at the beginning, you'll be talking against each other the whole time, and in the end, you will look at them or they will look at you and you'll think, you're crazy. I give you four views. God is old man in the sky, beyond being, ground of being, God is love. Each one of us has to wrestle through this word and figure out what we mean by it. But once we do, I think you can stand up proudly and say, this is what I mean. This is the thing that resonates with my heart right now. You don't need to hide it anymore. You don't need to pretend like, I don't know what you're meaning. Say it loud and proud. Not preachy, not proselytizing. That's not what I'm getting at. But you can now articulate what resonates with you. That's what I wanted to give you today. I hope you feel more tooled up to have that conversation.